Welcome to the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, Live the Big Stuff podcast with New York Times bestselling author Christine Carlson. This month we'll be focusing on kindness in an exciting Kindness Matters series. After all, kindness is strength, kindness is compassion, kindness is essential to long and lasting connections to our family, friends, co-workers, and all of our human relations. As a special thank you to our listeners, please visit christinecarlson.com/kindness for a free download of an invigorating guided meditation by Christine, an exclusive sneak peek of Christine's meditation series releasing soon.
Hi, and welcome back to the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, Live the Big Stuff podcast. This is Christine Carlson. I'm so excited because today we're going to be launching our new series called Kindness Matters. I have a very special guest to bring on in just a little while after we take our golden pause. So go ahead and sit comfortably wherever you are. And if you're seated in a chair, just sit with your legs uncrossed and your arms unfolded. And if you're sitting on the floor, lean back against something, bring your shoulders back in sort of a majestic pose, bring your heart open. And if you're driving, of course, just pay attention to the road and use this as a breathing, presencing exercise. So let's go ahead and begin by breathing in through your nose very deeply. As you do so, allow your chest and your belly to expand, taking in the fullness of your breath. And as you exhale, just let go and relax. Letting go of anxiety and any tension you feel in any parts of your body. This time as you breathe in golden sunlight, pure golden sunlight to the tip of your head, to the tips of your fingers and toes, all throughout your body, pure golden sunlight. And as you exhale, just relax, letting go. This time as you breathe in, fill your body with love. Fill your chest with love. Fill your head with love. Fill your arms and legs with love. Pure, pure love. Feeling love throughout your entire body. And this time as you exhale, let go of any fear you feel, any anxiety, any tension. Just let it go and relax. This time as you breathe in, place your hand on your heart, activating your heart, opening your heart, and just spend a moment thinking of something that you feel incredibly grateful for. It could be a person, a place, something somebody recently said to you. Could be just this moment right here, right now. Just spend a moment breathing into that gratitude. As you take in one more deep breath of golden sunlight, go ahead and open your eyes. Well, I'm so excited to invite Michael J. Chase onto our podcast today. He is the best-selling author, inspirational speaker, and one of today's most powerful voices for creating a kinder world. In 2007, he founded the Kindness Center and is now considered an expert on the subjects of kindness and positive behavior. As a world-renowned leader in personal and spiritual development, Michael reveals how living from the heart plays a critical role in healing our lives and our planet. Whether presenting in a classroom, boardroom, or on a stage in front of thousands, his message of hope impacts countless of lives each year. In 2010, Michael joined the Hay House speaking roster, which includes self-empowerment legends Louise Hay, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Dr. Christiane Northrup, and Marianne Williamson, and many more. He has since been a main presenter at Hay House conferences throughout the U.S. and Canada. Michael's work is not aligned with any particular belief system. His teachings are based on the universal language of kindness, which embraces all and excludes none. He has written two best-selling books on the subject and is currently working on his third with an expected release date of January 2018. You can visit his website at www.michaeljchase.com Welcome, Michael. I'm so excited to be talking with you today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. That the meditation was beautiful, and it was warm, and it's like 32 degrees here and snowing, so it's exactly what I needed. I'm on the East Coast in Maine, and it is chilly here, so thank you very much.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. Well, when I first bumped into you on Facebook, I was really just so excited to meet you, and that really gave me the whole idea to do this series on kindness was meeting you and talking to our friend Chris from Be Good to People. I talked to her within like a day or two of meeting you, and I asked her if she knew you, and she said, "Oh my God, we're great friends." And so yeah, so I'm so excited to be launching into this new series with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I think that, kindness is something that, of course, we all think about, we've all experienced it, we've given it, we've received it. But we're at a really critical time in our world where, I think it's one of the most important things that we can bring to our daily lives, to our relationships, to our careers. I promise I won't talk politics, but just, you look at the political season that we had, and the massive amount of unkindness and the division. And so I really feel strongly about this message, and I personally believe that a kindness revolution is coming. Because so many people are exhausted, and they're tired of just the disrespectful behavior that we see, whether it's in traffic or especially on social media. I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with social media. I see how it can do beautiful, amazing things to change the world, but I also see how it can be very damaging at times. So I just I really feel strongly that this simple basic message is about to catch fire and take over in a big way.
Well, I agree. I was speaking with a dear friend of mine, and it was interesting because he said that he'd been so disappointed after the election and so upset, and it was almost like it hit an ignition switch in him about, he said he noticed he had been like out and about. He was being more kinder than usual to people, more friendly and more kind. And I started to think about that, and he said, I said, "Well, what is that about for you?" And he said, "Well, I think because the general climate has been so hostile, and I feel like I want to be so disembodied from what's happened in our nation." And he said, "I think I feel want to feel so disembodied from that that I'm actually embodying something really powerful and really sweet." And being kinder to people just disembodies me from being bullying, and all of those things that are associated with unkindness. So I definitely think that that this is the time for that movement to really flourish, and especially in light of when you see the impact of unkind behavior that's in the media, and especially with political leaders, and especially our kids are watching that. I mean, it's been mortifying, like on some level, to know that that's the example that is set. Even the debates, you could watch the both of the candidates just barely able to maintain civility during those debates and stuff. And I just think about, wow. If there was one message that we could, get, because one thing about like Michelle and President Obama is they just had this, they did exude kindness. Would you not agree?
Absolutely agree. Kindness, class. I mean, and whether you disagree with their political views or not, I
Yeah.
mean, one thing you can't deny is that they always presented themselves in a good-hearted way, at least from my point of view, what I saw. And I think that is so important that our leaders understand that our children are watching, they're
Yeah.
paying attention. I mean, you look at there was a high school, I think, out your way in California, where just days after the election, there were students that had printed up fake deportation papers, and they were handing them out to other students.
That's
terrible. And it's heartbreaking. Yeah. There were kids standing up in a middle school lunchroom chanting at other students, saying, build that wall. And so, I mean, these things are happening. So many of the things that, you know, that are happening, we're not even hearing about on the news. I see them firsthand. I work with a ton of students, thousands and thousands of kids every year, middle school and high school. And these young people are, I mean, first of all, they're really struggling. I mean, this world is so intense and crazy and digitized, and with social media, I mean, in addition to, you know, talking about kindness, I think it's so important to bring mindfulness and being present again in our lives is such an important thing to bring to our youth, because they're scattered and they're feeling stressed and their levels of anxiety and depression are going up. I'm seeing beautiful young kids as young as 9 years old, they're taking their lives. You know, we lost a student here in a local school that I'm working with next week, you know, 13 years old, and he ended his life. So it's just vital that we display, you know, as adults, we have a responsibility, but as human beings, we have a spiritual responsibility to exude this energy of love, of kindness, of compassion, and to remember that this is how we were born. I mean, we came into the world this way, and so much of the spiritual process is of unlearning and stripping away the judgmental tendencies and the hatred and the prejudice and all the things that we weren't born with, that we've been taught, we've been conditioned. So this is a big challenge, you know, with our youth, and it's one that that we're going to have to focus on in the future, because they are, you know, I know it sounds so cliche and it's always said often, but they really are our future.
They are.
And so it's an important time to show love and appreciation to them and to remind them of their power and their place in this world.
What do you say to people when they say that kindness represents weakness? I'm just curious about that, because I know what I say, but I'd love to hear what you have to say about that.
I mean, I'm sure you hear that over and over again, because I do as well, and I'm always shocked, and especially, yeah. And it's usually from men. I find that the majority of people that will say that are typically the guys out there, especially if you go into, this isn't to pick on corporate America, but corporate America really thinks kindness is a weakness. And I just try to explain to them that it is the ultimate strength. I mean, kindness is what creates trust. Uh-huh. It's, I'm a huge believer in, you know, instead of thinking in terms of, you know, survival of the fittest, I believe in survival of the kindest. And you look at the relationships and friendships and careers and people's health and this planet, everything comes down to survival of the kindest. And the kind, and I really do believe that the kindest are the ones that will be standing.
Well, because kindness is so much about cooperation too, isn't it? I mean, it's about
It is, absolutely. I mean, and that's, relationships are the essence of life. I mean, the quality of your life comes down to, you know, the quality of your relationships, and the quality of your relationships will come down to the quality of how you're communicating with the world. And if you're communicating in just an ego-based way, if you're doing everything from your head, then it's inevitable. You're going to create conflict and stress and unease. But when you're operating from your heart, I mean, you're creating trust. You're creating this level of connection, and maybe it's in a romantic relationship. I mean, it's the little acts of kindness that will strengthen whether it's a marriage or if you're just a boyfriend, girlfriend, doesn't matter what it is, but just the little things make the greatest difference. So I'm a huge believer that kindness is the ultimate strength, because it takes a lot of energy to be unkind, and it just depletes your energy. It brings you down. And I'm also a big believer that everything is energy. And so what you are projecting for energy is going to karmically come back. And, you know, if you're putting out unkind energy day after day after day, then it's more than likely that the universe is probably putting some pretty unkind people in your path, kind of, you know, kicking your butt back, you know? And so,
Wasn't it Einstein that said it's the most important decision you'll ever make was if you live in a friendly or unfriendly universe?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that belief system, like, I believe that we live in a world that's filled with amazing, loving, kind, beautiful, just wonderful, wonderful people. And as a result, those are the kind of people that show up in my life all the time. Now, that doesn't mean that occasionally, you know, someone is rude or they cut me off in traffic things happen, but that's their karma. You know, how I react, how I respond, what I do with that is my own. But I believe we do live in a beautiful world. It's just unfortunate that, typically the media shows us most of our ugliness. It shows, true. What human beings are doing that's unkind. And that's sadly what sells. But at the end of the day, there are far more beautiful things happening. You know, like in this very second, you know, there are babies being born, people are falling in love, they're pursuing their dreams, they're holding hands, they're telling someone that they love them and they care about them. People are laughing, walking in nature, enjoying just the infinite number of incredible things that take place. So we do live in a friendly, wonderful, warm, loving universe. But we have to have, if we don't have that belief, then our experience will typically be, of course, the opposite.
Yeah, I agree. Would you say that to each individual that maybe that kindness starts with themselves, like being kind and gentle and more compassionate with themselves, and then it becomes easier to be kind and compassionate and gentle with other people?
It's rule number one. If you're not kind to yourself, I sincerely believe that self-love is the cure for pretty much everything on this planet. Uh-huh. Like, if people sincerely love themselves, and this is not the ego, this is a spiritual practice. It's a heart-based practice where you can look at yourself in the mirror and just fall in love and be okay with, you know, every single inch of who you are. When you get into that place, then it's just natural. It's your natural way of being to be kind to others. The people that are performing the most amounts of unkindness are the ones that are insecure, that they're filled with self-judgment, that they even hate themselves. I meet people who say, "Oh, I hate myself. I hate the way I look. I hate." And when you use that word, I mean, words are energy. And of course, when you feel bad about yourself, then to try in this twisted psychological way, this is what we do. We try to somehow lift ourselves back up by bringing people down. And that's what bullying is. You know, when I deal with it, whether it's in a work environment or in the schools, the people that are acting in ways that they're, you know, being I don't even like to use the word bully, because what I see are beings that are just suffering.
Yeah,
they're just suffering human beings, and their suffering is spilling out onto other people. But again, self-kindness, you have to start there. You have to love yourself. You have to take good care of your mind, your body, your spiritual life, and you have to immerse yourself in gratitude for who you are each and every day.
Now, would you say that that kindness is something that we're really born with, and then we unlearn it based on the behavior of those people around us. And just, I think you were alluding to that in the beginning where you said that so much of our belief system, you know, comes into play, and we create judgments and we create separation, and then hence we have unkind behavior through that, those feelings of separation. So if kindness is our natural birthright, how do we lead the world back to kindness?
Well, we have to first of all make it a priority. And I think going back to our educational system, I look forward to the day when there are classes. I mean, we start at a very early age, and we're teaching our children all of the, you know, all of, you know, the elements of the heart. This is something that I wrote about several years ago in my first book, Am I Being Kind? I talked about 9 elements of the heart. And so you can actually, you can teach kindness. You can, instead of just saying, oh, you know, be kind, a lot, because people will say, well, what is that? That's just being nice, right? That's just a warm and fuzzy, you know, that's just unicorns and rainbows. And, you know, it's, and it's not realistic, a lot of people will say, you know, in today's world. But we can actually break kindness down and look at it from, again, what I called 9 elements of a kind heart. And just to run through them briefly, they are to be attentive, authentic, charitable, compassionate, courageous, enthusiastic, grateful, inspirational, and patient. Mm. And when we start to make those our way of being, and you look at every single one of those elements and how they can be applied in living a life of kindness, it's phenomenal. So I have done year-long curriculums with schools where we teach these elements. And it's just been beautiful to see how students and the staff will take it and they'll just run with it. And it's not just about the school environment. They bring it into every single thing that they do. And I also encourage people to not focus so much on your to-do list. You know, in our Western way of thinking, we're always focused on doing. Instead of having a to-do list, start your day with a to-be list. Mm. And when being comes before doing, then everything you have to do is just so much easier. So if you say on my, I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
When you focus on, okay, on my to-be list today is to, we'll just start basic and say, okay, to be kind. If that's your way of being, then your conversations, your meetings at work, or your time with your loved ones, it's going to be more peaceful. But if you look at those elements, if you are so the first one, to be more attentive, and living in a world where, you know, we're constantly being distracted by our technology, to say, okay, today on the top of my list, I am going to be attentive. I'm going to be totally present. I'm going to listen. I'm going to just sincerely be with people and hear them. That's a gift. Mm-hmm. Like in today's world, to just be fully present with the person in front of you, that's an incredible act of kindness. So being has to come before doing. When we focus on our to-be list, again, everything that we have to do throughout the day just unfolds in just a very peaceful, more graceful way.
It sure does. You know, I just, when you say that, I think about how lately, this past year, I've been intentionally leaving my cell phone in my car, or intentionally turning my cell phone off when I'm, you know, meeting a friend or in conversation with somebody, you know, just for that reason that I don't, you know, I just don't want to be disturbed or distracted. And I'm tired of having, you know, constant communication all the time with everyone.
Like, I agree. It's so exhausting.
I know. It's like even I love my kids dearly, but you know, my adult children, they think they have to tell me everything every second and all day long.
I know. And it's, where is the privacy in our world, you know? And so It is. It's really important that we unplug from time to time. I do a digital detox a couple times a year, where I pull the plug from my social media accounts and I just go off the grid. And at first, yeah, it's hard. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to know, you know, what my best friend ate for dinner. And I'm not going to know, you know, I mean, I'm not going to know where my friends are on vacation and, you know, all these things that I'm kind of joking, but it is nice. It's wonderful to stay in touch, but sometimes you just need more face-to-face time than say Facebook time.
Yeah.
So I take those 3 months and I unplug. And I don't just walk away from, I mean, I have to, like, I actually deactivate my accounts. So then, of course, everybody freaks out. And it's like, where are you? What happened? Yeah. And then it's fine. You can make stuff up and just say, oh, you know, I joined a Buddhist monastery and, you know, I'll be back in 6 years. And like, what? And, you know, so, but people get it. You know, after a while, they're like, okay, I get it. You're doing your digital detox. But oh my gosh, it's so freeing. After a week or so, and you step away from all the buzz of social media, you become so present.
Yeah.
And you start to recognize all the beauty around you, the things that you've been missing, you know, that are right there. And it's people and it's nature and it's just life. It's life right in front of you. So I encourage people to do that from time to time, even if it's for a weekend. It'll really be an incredibly freeing experience.
Yeah, because I do think that is when you're talking about kindness, being present, it really is one of the simplest ways to be kind to somebody. And it's just one of the simplest ways to heal other people and to help them access their healing. It's so wonderful to be listened to and seen. And I think it's a rare quality when somebody offers that kind of presence. And
it is.
Yeah. So, all right. So tell us about some of the kindness movements that you've been involved in. Cause I know I've been, you know, doing in my own research of you, I see that there's a lot of, you know, that you've been creating a movement of kindness. So let's talk about that for a little bit. So how can somebody get involved with you in that movement?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, I always like to just tell people that I didn't invent kindness. You know, it's so funny.
Dalai Lama didn't either, but but Buddha, maybe we get back to Buddha and some really ancient, maybe Aristotle invented kindness. I don't know.
It's got to go back a little before me, but you know, yeah, I mean, people, because I got tagged with this name when I started doing radio shows years ago, they called me the kindness guy, and then they knew I started the Kindness Center. But this is not a new concept. This has been around for thousands of years. Buddha and Christ and all these great thinkers were telling us, you know, be kind, be compassionate, be loving. So all I'm really doing is reminding people. You know, I've often said that, you know, I'm like caffeine for the heart. You know, I just try to just wake people up and remind them of their true nature, you know, which is to be kind. And so that's all I'm really doing. And I'm a huge believer that, you know, I can't just teach people or say, be kind. I mean, I have to be that, you know, Gandhi said, my life is my message.
Yeah,
and so that's so important for me in this work that I'm doing. I mean, I'm 47 years old, but you know, you put me in front of a group of middle school kids and I feel, you know, I feel 27 again. My energy just goes through the roof. I get so much energy off these kids, but I want to show them what I'm doing out there instead of just telling them what to do. And we have had, with the Kindness Center, started these very large random acts of kindness events. And the big one that I've become known for is one called 24 Hours of Kindness, mm-hmm. where we basically go out on the streets for 24 straight hours without sleeping, not taking any breaks. And all we're doing is looking for opportunities to serve, to love, to, you know, to feed that homeless person that maybe has been ignored all day, to strike up a conversation with a complete stranger. And again, back to listening, just listening to someone's story. I mean, I'll hold a sign out in front of coffee shops and I'll say, tell me a heartwarming story and I'll buy you a cup of coffee. Mm. And people will come up and they share these beautiful, amazing experiences, and they become vulnerable and open. And it's just awesome. You know, people love to share, just the simplest things. They'll talk about their kids. So we just meet, you know, hundreds of people. We just basically go out there from the perspective of, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen. So we just let the event carry us in a very spontaneous, organic way. And it's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. So we'll continue to do that each year. New York City has been a place that we've done it twice. And that is just, I mean, you talk about energy. I went standing in the middle of Times Square and I held a sign that said, hugs for Patty. And of course it makes people curious. It's like, you know, what is that all about? And a friend of mine was diagnosed with breast cancer last year. Mm. So, I decided that I would just have this sign and people, if they would just come up and hug me, then I could go back home to Maine. And the next time I saw Patty, I could deliver all these hugs from complete strangers. Aww. Because it's transferring energy. Everything is energy, love, kindness. It's energy. And of course, the very first woman that comes up to me, she's like, what is this all about? She was a young woman who had herself experienced cancer. Aww. And she had no idea. So the universe is brilliant and it brings you the perfect people. And so in doing these events, I'm hoping that I can encourage others to just take, you know, I'm not asking them to go out for 24 hours and do this crazy thing that we do, but at least just do something, you know, go out and just make a difference in one life and just ask them, you know, just pass it on, just do something kind for another person, because the ripple effect from this is just amazing. You know, we can go one of two ways in life. We can either affect people in a positive way and create that positive ripple effect, or we can use unkindness and we can infect people and it can spread like a virus. So we want to affect people in a positive way. And kindness has the power. I know that kindness has the power to change the world.
It certainly does. I just want to share a quick story about when I was in high school. I belonged to a choir, and it was a very large choir. It happened to be a very popular thing in our high school. All the football players were in choir. Everyone was in choir. And it was like three or four different grades. So you could, you were matched by the person next to you based on the tone quality of your voice. And so I sat next to two different sopranos every day for like, you know, for 4 years. And this one girl, her name was Anne, and she was always, we always matched. So every year, although she was a year younger than me, every year we came in after she'd been a freshman, we were always seated next to each other. And Anne was really, really quiet and shy. I mean, super, super, super shy. And I was, of course, not shy. So I would bounce in and, you know, say hi to everybody and, you know, talk to my friends. And then I, you know, sit down, quiet down for choir. But every day I always turned to her, you know, even though she was so quiet, it would be really easily not to notice her because she was that shy. I would always turn to her and I would smile and give her a hug and say, hello, Anne. And she'd always smile back. And then one day, after a couple of years, one day I noticed that Anne was not only looking shy, but she was looking really, really sad. And so at the end of choir, I turned to her and I gave her an extra squeeze and I looked at her in the eyes and I said, "Anne, what's wrong? Is there something wrong?" And she looked at me and she burst into tears and she said, "My brother committed suicide this past weekend."
God.
And I remember just, you know, I remember just holding her in my arms and just, you know, almost like I was holding a child, even though this girl was just 1 year younger than me, and just holding her in my arms and just letting her sob, you know, and just sitting there for a really long time with her. And then, you know, I really didn't ever say anything more about it to her. She never talked about it again or anything. I would just come in every day and say, "How are you?" you know, and give her a smile. And then at the end of school, when I was graduating, she pulled me aside and she handed me a little, like a little gift, and it had a card. And she said, "I'm too embarrassed to have you read this now, but I really want you to read this. And I just want to say thank you." And I just remember looking at her like, "What? Like, thank you for what?" That's what I said. I go, "Thank you for what?" And she's like,
"Wow."
And she's like, "You were so kind to me. You were always so kind." And she said, I'll never be able to tell you how much you've impacted my life." And, you know, and here I was like 17 years old. And to me, just the fact that it was invisible to me what I had done, like really, truly, it was in my second nature. I didn't even try. It was easy. It was like, you know, there was no effort involved. And I remember just looking at her and just feeling so stunned, like literally stunned that I had unknowingly done something like that impacted her so greatly. And it really showed me that it is the small things that we do, and we do them, and they may seem so natural or unnatural, but if we do them, they have such a huge impact on other people. And I took that lesson, that beautiful reflection that she gave me, and it encouraged me to continue to be that way more and more and more in my life. And I actually have her to thank for bringing that forward to my attention, you know, that it was invisible to me, but she's actually the one that showed me, you know, and I could be more me as I went out into the world. And, you know, and I think, like, I always remember that was one of the things that Richard was most attracted to me for, too. He said, "I just noticed that you were so kind, you know, and you're just always, you're kind." And I think that that's the greatest compliment to receive. I really do. I feel like it's the most wonderful compliment that anybody can receive. So, with that,
I agree with you.
Yeah, isn't it?
That's such a beautiful story, and it shows the power of, you know, one act of kindness that I have no doubt that even, you know, all these years later, that's still affecting her, that she will never, ever forget about that moment where you showed, I mean, so many of those elements of a kind heart that I was talking about, you know, you were attentive, you were compassionate, you were courageous, all that, because kindness takes courage at times. But you changed her life. And as a result, you know, here you are. I mean, you still remember that moment. It's still impacting you. So that's the beauty of kindness, is that it's an energy that it doesn't go away. It stays with us. It can change lives, and I've even seen it save lives. So, I agree that one of the greatest compliments that any person could ever receive is, you know, "You are so kind. You are so kind." Because that, I don't know, I just find that to be the most attractive quality of any human being, is a loving, kind-hearted soul.
I do too. And I just, oh, I want to thank you for the work you're doing in the world and for the message that you're spreading. And boy, you are so right. Our world needs this more than ever right now. So thank you, Michael. I'm so happy that we've had this conversation today. And I just want to remind everybody, you can find out more about Michael Chase at www.michaeljchase.com. And will you just repeat your books and the book that you have coming out one more time?
Yeah, my first book is titled Am I Being Kind? How Asking One Simple Question Can Change Your Life and Your World. And my second book is The Radical Practice of Loving Everyone, a four-legged approach to enlightenment. And that that book was written alongside my crazy four-legged best friend. Was quite a
journey. Is he a golden doodle?
She looks like a golden doodle, but she's a standard. She's a standard poodle with
really?
Yeah. I did. We always just gave her the puppy cut. So, you know, I there's no way. I mean, if I was going to have a poodle, no pom poms, no foo foo, no, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. I just couldn't go there. So we just let her hair grow wild and Aww. she's just this amazing. She looks like a big Muppet, you know?
She does.
Going on 13 now and just as amazing as ever, but she's a great spiritual teacher in my life. And that book was, it was quite a journey with her.
Aww.
And then I'm working on my third book right now, which is, most likely going to be titled Survival of the Kindest.
Mm.
And a look at, how we can overcome so many of the dark times in our lives by using kindness as the ultimate way to bring light back into your life and into the world.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much. This has been wonderful. I'm so excited to start out this series this way. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Have an amazing day. Hope to talk again soon.
All right. And to all our listeners, come back and listen again. And please share this podcast with your friends and family. Kindness matters. It matters to all of us. Thanks and take care.
Thanks for listening to Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, Live the Big Stuff with Christine Carlson. Christine invites you to join her in a series of guided meditations coming soon to ChristineCarlson.com. As a thank you for joining us today, the first meditation is yours free. Just visit ChristineCarlson.com/kindness to download it now.